Hi, everybody. It's Dr. Eric Quorum, founder of AIM7. Welcome back to The Blueprint, where we distill cutting-edge science, leadership, and life skills into simple tactics optimized for your busy lifestyle and goals. Today, we're continuing our powerful conversation with financial expert Ryan D. Lee. He's going to share his personal journey of climbing the corporate ladder, only to realize he was sacrificing everything that truly mattered. After a health scare with his son and watching his retirement accounts plummet in 08, Ryan had a wake-up call. He discovered that net worth means nothing. What matters is how much income your assets produce. We'll explore the critical mindset shift from net worth to cash flow and why financial freedom is a lifestyle, not a retirement destination. We're going to pick up today's conversation with the last 1 minute of our last episode with Ryan because I think it really sets up what we're talking about today. Don't forget to go check out the resources Ryan has provided in the show notes. But for now, let's get right to it. Let's lean in and learn from the best.
Eric, I'll never forget when I went through this on my own. I went through my own math. I went through my own scenario. And for the first time using math, not emotional, I could see and understand why my coworkers were struggling. Why my coworkers 20, 30 years ahead of me were fearful that they might not ever have quote unquote enough to retire. And I realized at that moment, Robert Kiyosaki was right. I was playing a game that I was inevitably going to lose. And I could ask myself a question. Can I deny it? Should I just deny it and pretend like it doesn't exist and hope that it works out for the best? That's what most people do. Or should I be mad about it? Because that is super frustrating to think that I followed all the rules and now everything's stacked against me. Or how can I do something not just better, but how are the wealthy doing it? Are the wealthy do they have a better mutual fund than I do? And this is what opened me up to the rest of Robert Kiyosaki's book of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, which was pretty much a playbook of what the wealthy are doing if savers are losers.
So is this what you mean by begin with the end in mind for retirement?
That's exactly it, man. And this kind of goes back to that original question I asked you. If you don't know how assets, whatever the asset is, or a piece of real estate, a 401k, a cryptocurrency, if you don't know how assets produce income, you haven't started with the right end destination in mind. Because at the end of the day, that's all financial freedom is. That's all retirement is how much income do my assets produce and how much time can I buy back? If you don't know how much income assets produce, then you're constantly chasing your tail, wondering, is my rate of return high enough or good enough? But that, in the short run, even though that might feel good, in the long run, that's irrelevant.
Okay. So I think we've kind of talked offline a little bit about a mindset shift that we need to take. So first of all, the reason I'm so fascinated in this is one, I want to be able to retire and not have all the fears that are lingering out there, but also like the biggest stresses in our lives today, one of them is financial issues. Yeah. If you look at like destroyers of marriages or what's causing friction in your home, it's the stress over money. And I don't think many of us give this enough thought, time, and attention because we just kind of, it's something that just happens. It gets pulled out of our bank account and it's kind of on autopilot. And what I appreciate about this conversation is something that I challenged my listeners to at the beginning of the year is that we're going to talk about this stuff and this isn't comfortable. And so I really appreciate you doing this. But we kind of talked about why we need to shift from this net worth to cash flow measurement transformation for retirement planning. What does that mean? And what do we need to be doing? What's this process that needs to take place? And what's the shift that needs to occur?
Eric, I love that, man. I'm going to give you just a little bit more insight on my backstory on why I do what I do today. Okay. And to answer that question, because in the last episode, we talked about this idea that savers are losers. And for me, right out of college, I'll never forget when I got that first paycheck. What should have been a rewarding moment in my life. I'm a college grad. I'm the first one in my family. I have a new wife. We moved from Utah to Arizona. And I remember I got that check, right? And I'm going to date myself a little bit. They gave you a check with a little window in the envelope and I could see it was a check and I put it in my back pocket. And I wanted to celebrate, right? The fact that I'm a college grad with a college job. And I remember I went to the Bank of America to cash my check and I opened it up. And I opened that thing up. And this is after 2 weeks of work, after moving my new wife and I to a different state. I took the check out. And at first I thought there was a mistake, right? Because when I found the number that I was looking for, how much money did I make? It was a really small number. And I started looking at everything that came out above me getting money, right? Income taxes, insurance, deductions, all this stuff came out and I had this small little number. And I remember a voice started rising in the back of my head. It said, you should just quit now. I was making more money as a side hustler, paying my way through college than I am as a college grad. Now, Eric, at this time, my wife was pregnant. our son was, we already knew, had complications. And so we were kind of monitoring that. And I, as a responsible new husband, I realized, man, I can't quit. So I decided right then and there, I'm going to climb the corporate ladder. I'm just going to outwork this problem. And over the next 4 to 5 years, man, I made more money. I went from making about $32,000 a year to about $150,000. And in the beginning, those promotions, it was kind of exciting. I was traveling. I was on the road. I was more prestige, more credibility. But over time, I didn't realize it in the moment. I was making little trade-offs, right? I was trading a portion of my life. I was trading time with my family. I was trading my health and well-being. I was trading my spirituality because I was working 60, 70, 80 hours. I was always on the road. And I found myself at a point in my life where I lived in a different state than my family because I traveled so much and they were so tired of moving around with me. And I'll never forget, man, Eric, this is right after I lost all my money in my 401k, right after 2008. A couple months after that, my wife gave me a call. I'm living in Indianapolis and she's back in Texas caring for my now 4-year-old son who was born with a heart defect. And she told me that, Ryan, Doug needs an emergency open heart surgery. And Eric, at that moment, I realized the lesson. I'm so grateful I had to realize it this way. But at that moment, I realized I had been trading everything I cared about in the pursuit of one day I'll have enough money and I'll retire early. That was my path. Now, I jumped on a plane and I spent the next couple of weeks in the hospital with my son as he recovered. And I was so grateful that he was given a second chance with the heart surgery that he had that restored his life. But Eric, more than anything, I was grateful that I was given a second chance to be his father. And this is when I started analyzing everything I was doing. And I realized at this moment, after my 401k dropped like a rock, I was left with about $28,000 in my account. And I did contemplate quitting at that moment because I didn't want to be on the road. I didn't want to live in a different state than my family. I wanted to be that husband that I kept telling myself one day I'll become. And as I did the math on my 401k, at the time, our monthly expenses, they were about $7,000 a month, right? $6,000 to $7,000 a month. And as I did the math on the 401k, assuming I could even take the money out of a 401k and assuming I didn't have to pay taxes, all of which is not true, I only had enough money saved up after almost 5 years out of college to fund 4 months of my life. Meaning, if I started taking money out of my 401k and I had $7,000 a month in expenses and $28,000 left in my 401k, 4 months into it, I'm out of money. And the first moment that this happened for me, it clicked in my mind. My net worth means nothing. What actually matters is how much income my assets produce. I only owned 4 months of my time after 5 years in the corporate world. And that shifted everything for me. Because what if my 401k, it can, but what if my 401k could generate $7,000 a month in cash flow? Would I care that my net worth was $28,000? It would be irrelevant to me. What would be relevant is how much income that asset generates. Eric, this opened up a whole new world for me. And I started looking at investing completely different with that simple mindset shift.
So it's, I'm trying to bring this back to, I'm still wrapping my head around this. If my expenses are X, the most important thing is that I'm having enough cash that's flowing in consistently to meet the needs. It really doesn't matter what the nut is over here, as long as I'm continuing to cash flow, correct?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. So how do we kind of shift our focus more onto this cash flow mentality so that we can get closer to these retirement goals? I mean, I just got to say, like, I don't want to retirement to me sounds like quitting. What I'm really looking forward to is like being able to make enough money so I can be more generous and have more of my own time. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I just want to say that this is my podcast. So like that to me is what retirement means. Yeah. And I think a lot of people listening probably kind of have that because people enjoy working and doing things that are productive. And there's more people in their late 60s and early 70s that are like, I'm just going to keep doing the thing that I love doing, but I want to have the financial freedom to pursue it. Maybe it's in the service of other people, or maybe it's they want to give back their time or truly chase a passion. So if we make this mindset shift, how is it going to get us closer to our goals?
Ooh, Eric, you just asked probably the most important question of all, because this now comes back to the idea of money. In order for us to master money, we need to understand what money is and what money represents, right? Because at the end of the day, it's very elusive. Money today is very, it seems like we should understand what it is and what it represents, but very few of us actually do. I mean, some of us think money's paper, and it kind of is paper, right? I could pull out a dollar bill or a $20 bill, and therefore money is paper. But today, money exists on a computer screen, right? As well as paper. So sometimes it's just numbers on a bank account. But it also exists in this form of digital currency. I've got cryptocurrency, or it exists as gold and silver, or it exists as barter and trade. So money is a very elusive concept. But what I've found is super helpful is for all of us, no matter who we are, money does ubiquitously represent one thing. It's something that we trade our life for. Mm-hmm. If that's true, then the objective of savings is to understand money enough to buy our life, i.e. our time back. And I love this idea. I don't believe any human being should stop. Now, you might take more time off and travel more and slow down a little bit. But the way human beings find fulfillment, not just peace of mind, but fulfillment is using their God-given gifts, skills, talents, and abilities in the service of other people. Mm-hmm. And so the objective of money is to use your talents, go solve problems in the world, make money, keep the money that you're making, and invest it for cash flow. And all we're looking for with cash flow is options. I want to wake up tomorrow and say, in a world where I can do anything I want, what is the highest and best use of my time? And I want to make decisions not based on how much something costs, but based on how much fulfillment, how much excitement, how if I'm checking life goals and doing meaningful things inside of my life. And so money, therefore, becomes a tool to live your best life, to build and live a life that matters, not this pile that we're trying to build up for one day. But I believe financial freedom, it's a lifestyle. It's not a destination like retirement. It's a lifestyle. And when you understand the game of cash flow, if I want to increase my expenses out of necessity, you said your kids are young, mine are old or getting older. I got my first one going to college, right? Doug, who had a heart defect, is now going to college.
How about that? That's an amazing story.
Yeah, man, it is. I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful to be his father and to have the last decade with him as a more intentional father. But this then comes back to the idea of cash flow, right? At the end of the day, I want my assets to produce income. And as the cost of living is going up, as my desire to travel goes up, whatever that is, if I can play this game of knowing how to create income and knowing what my expenses are, I want to constantly stay ahead of that game. If I want to raise my expenses by $2,000 a month because I'm going to buy a bigger house, then I'm going to go raise my cash flow, buy enough assets to produce $2,000 more a month of cash flow. So I'm constantly financially free.
So to do that, to understand what our cash flow needs to be, we need to go use that calculator to determine like how long we project to live and how much money we need to have coming in each month so that then we can kind of like reverse engineer this process, correct?
That's it right there. And here's the second calculator that your audience now has access to. So the first calculator was the one we gave them on the last episode where we said savers or losers. We're going to kind of punch them in the gut. Sorry, guys. Sorry, not sorry. Punch them in the gut. Then in the second calculator, we're going to show them the opportunity. Because here's the crazy part, Eric. If you came to me and said, hey, man, I want to get an investment that gives me an 8% return, right? Or I want to get an investment that gives me an 8% distribution rate, 8% cash flow. On the surface, those seem like the same thing, 8 and 8. But an 8% growth rate and an 8% distribution rate are two radically different things. And when we shift our mindset to saying, I don't care what my rate of return is. Now, it's important. But if you can generate just as much income off of half of the asset base or half of the net worth, then it doesn't really matter what your net worth is. It matters how much income your assets deliver. And when you shift your lens that way, you start looking at investing completely different. You're not looking to chase the latest and greatest highest rates of return. You're looking to invest in the things that give you the most consistency, the most predictability, and the highest streams of income, preferably that rise with inflation and that eliminate or avoid taxes. That then puts you in a game where you can be financially free right now, today.
Make sure you go check out the special link in the show notes for a webpage Ryan and his team built for us. You can go use the calculator that he provided and take a look at his other resources. Don't forget, we've got one more episode coming with Ryan, so stay tuned. Until then, stay curious, stay consistent, and keep chasing excellence.